This is Yair Davidi from Bambi, Brit Am, broadcasting Israel. Once again, we are giving you a commentary on the Psalms. Today, we will be considering Psalm number 4. You are advised to go to our website, look up the section on Bible commentary. From there, go to Psalms. Go to Psalms number 4. Because this commentary will be used as a guide for our informal talk that we are about to give. Psalm number 4 begins, Dimnatzeh bin Ginot Mizmor da David, in the King James translation and other translations. This is translated as to the chief musician Oni Ginot, a psalm of David. Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch interpreted this heading to mean, to him who grants victory. In other words, in Hebrew it says, the Menatzeach. The Menatzeach in Hebrew can denote a chief musician, a conductor, but also means someone who conquers, someone who obtains victory, someone or someone who gives victory, someone who has the victory and grants the ability to victor, to conquer, to overcome the adversary, to they who find favor in his eyes. In other words, the Almighty helps us, helps his people to overcome, helps us to come through periods of trouble and the journey of this life. He continues on Niginoth. Niginoth is a word that is difficult to translate, and the King James Version does not translate it. But it means, generally speaking, it means music or musical tunes. And this is how Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch translates it, to mean the art of music. In other words, through the use of music, through appropriate music, singing the Psalms, or even expressing a deepest emotions in music, or hearing others do the same, we can achieve a spiritual elevation. We can get closer to the Almighty through the power of music, and this is what we find in the Bible. And it's a whole subject in its own right. And as someone who is not especially musically inclined, I'm not really qualified to speak of it. It's worth noting, it's worth taking account of. And those who have the ability or the interest, they could well benefit by following it through, by checking up on it and finding other sources to study concerning this matter, which is very important. It goes on. David goes on in this psalm and he says, Bekari anani elahai zidki, bitzahi haftali hanani b'shamati filati. Don't worry about my Hebrew expressions, they're quite short. It's just what the verse says in the original, and this is what it says in English. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. David calls upon God, the God of my righteousness, the God who enables me to be righteous, who tells me what to do, who gives me the strength to overcome temptation or the pulls of the moment, which in times of weakness and times of temptation can cause us to stray from the right path. God helps us to overcome. He strengthens us. And he enables us to be righteous. And this righteousness is to our virtue, is to our benefit, is a credit to us. Something that in a quiet, subdued way we can be proud of, we should be proud of. And if we haven't got it, we should endeavour to achieve it, and then we will be proud of it. Midrash, Yalkut Shimoni, interprets this whole psalm to be as a cry from the tribe of Judah, from the present-day Jews, to the Almighty God, that God should help them in their time of trouble. As it says in Deuteronomy 33:7, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let him help him, and let him be reconciled unto him, unto his God, and unto himself, and reconciled with the lost 10 tribes, to whom Bit'am is ministering, or reaching out unto. Let Judah be reconciled unto them, and may they return, and may the Almighty guide us all in what we should do in this matter, which is very important. It may not have been so relevant in the past, but in our age we have the feeling we have been made to understand that in our time this is extremely important, and all of us should take it to heart and spread this message to whomsoever is willing to listen to us. The psalm continues. B'nai ish admei kavodi deklima te'ahavon rik tivakshu kasev sara. In other words, you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory unto shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing, etc.? This is B'nai Ish, says the word translated sons of men. Usually, as Rabbi David Kimhei, the Radak, pointed out, in the Bible refers to important men. Ish means someone who means man, translated as man, but usually means a person, someone who is specific, who has importance of his own right and in society. So they especially are guilty of reducing the glory of the Almighty, the self-respect of righteousness, of biblical values. They bear the guilt of not acting as they should, and of having served as a bad example, and of encouraging others to go in their reprobate pathways. They will have to pay the price, and they are being called upon to repent. This is what David is saying. And this is relevant to our times as it was relevant in the past. It's also a personal cry of David, who was one of the greatest men who ever lived. He was the author of the Psalms. A person. You can feel him, you can identify with him. Everyone can. He was an avenue through which we can reach up until the Almighty, through our understanding, through the Psalms that he left us. And he had a hard life. He was a warrior. He was persecuted. He fled. He sinned. He repented. People mocked him. He looked strange. Says he, I was a stranger unto my brothers. He lived a hard life, a hard and glorious life, and left a wondrous legacy for us all. And there are Bible critics and others today who diminish the respect we have for David, say bad things about him. And they're being called upon to make an account of themselves, to repent and do good, turn back from their evil ways and nefarious inclinations. Psalms 4:3 says, Do ki hifla Hashem hasid lo Hashem yishma b'korai elav. Know that the Lord hath set him apart that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. So someone who becomes close to the Almighty, to whatsoever degree, and all of us to various degrees, we even those who believe and try to do work as we should, we have times, moments when we fall down or we become less attached or less virtuous than at other times, or less close to the Almighty than at other times. Even so, we belong to the Almighty. Once we take the decision to try and do His will to the best of our ability, to however we can, we belong to Him. And He sets us apart for Himself. We are part of His portion. And our adversaries should know that God has set us apart. We are His soldiers, that we are His men. We are His party. We are recognized by Him. And He will uphold our honor and our cause. God will hear us when we call unto Him. As it says, Rigzu ba'at ha'ato imnu b'lavav hem ha'mishkafkim v'tomu o'sela. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Take an account of yourselves. Commune with your own heart. Think. Think to yourself. Do a reckoning. It's not so difficult. It's for your own good. It brings life and health and sustenance to your own being and that of your family. You need to take an inner step back. To look at ourselves, to consider our ways, and to come closer to the Almighty. As it says, B'shalom yachdav, zivku zivke zedek, vidku al Hashem. Zivku zivke zedek, vidku al Hashem. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Okay? To be righteous is for our own good, for our own benefit, but it often entails a certain sacrifice, a certain giving up of things which we otherwise would enjoy. It can cost us monetarily, it can cost us, we might have to put our money on it. Also, sometimes we have to give up some of our pride and self-respect in order to further it. Cost us of our time, of our leisure hours, or even with our socially it can cost us. And whatever it costs us, we couldn't be sure that we're going to get it back several times over, sometimes 100, 1,000 times over. The Almighty is a good banker. In that sense, He helps us, He repays us. But even so, at the very moment when we have to pay something, this might be a small consolation. We might have preferred to take whatever immediate benefit or pleasure that was offered to us and let tomorrow take the hind day, as I say. Let the devil look after his own. Whatever we have to pay, we'd pay it. But even so, this is the path we've gone on. This is the path of righteousness. This is what God wants of us. And we must be prepared to pay this price, even without receiving a reward, to pay the price for its own sake, for the sake of righteousness, in order to do the will of the Almighty, who has chosen us for his portion, and to whom we have attached ourselves to be part of his emissaries, of his soldiers, of his forces in this world, so that we may be with him in the next. And even if there were not to be a next world, we would still want to do this. We would still want to be righteousness and to cleave unto the Almighty, because that is the right thing to do, and we want to do the right thing. Everyone wants to do the right thing, but everyone has pulls in the opposite direction not to do the right thing, and we are going to do what our own inner being wants us to do. We are going to be true to ourselves for the sake of the Almighty. Verse 4:6 says, Zivku Zivka Zedek Vidku Al Hashem. Rabbi Amrim Mi Yareinu Tov Nesa Aleinu O Paneka Hashem. Rabbi Amrim Mi Yareinu Tov Nesa Aleinu O Paneka Hashem. That there may be many that say, who will show us any God? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. In other words, the best explanation of this verse is as S.R. Hirsch, which is a pretty good commentary, incidentally. It's available in English. He originally wrote in German. It helps to know a little bit of Hebrew to understand what he wrote, but you can get by very well without it. There's only here and there a few Hebrew words, a few words in Hebrew that he based his commentary upon, but you can read it and you can benefit from it, and it's quite deep, though we should also realize that he wrote his commentary in the late 19th century in Germany. He wrote it for people in his own society where basically religious Jewish believers, but also intellectuals and well in tune with all the general trend of German academic learning of the time. And they had a very involved style, a very deep think, very deep modes of thought. They were quite verbose. They had their own methods of explaining things, of understanding the world. It was before the time of television and modern media. Was a time when those who were capable of intellectualizing or philosophizing took pleasure in it and tried to stretch it out as much as possible. So this gives us results in a certain style, which in some portions might be a bit difficult for the modern reader, but on the whole, it's well worth reading. So, getting back to what we said, S.R. Hirsch explained Psalms 4:6 as saying, lift thou up, set the light of your favor upon us as a mark of our distinction. Why? Because the beginning of the verse says that there may be many that say, who will show us any good, Lord? That there are quite a few people say, what good does it do you? What good does it do anyone to follow the right path? What benefit do you have for it? You find people who talk like this, who take this attitude. So we, first of all, we believe that anyone who does good, good will come upon him. You do well, and God will do well unto you. That is what we believe. This is the truth, and we have known it. You know, the book of Job also speaks of this as a well-known, universally accepted rule of the course of life that applies to the overwhelming majority of people, even though there are exceptions. There are some people who do good and suffer, or there are exceptions in our own lives, that on the whole, when we do good, we've only benefited from it. But there were periods, or there were times, or there were incidences where, at least at a superficial level, we seem to feel that by doing good, we've only suffered. So we say that we, for our part, are prepared to do good because that is what that is the right thing to do, and that's what the Almighty wants of us. But even so, we ask the Almighty to reward us and help us and to set us apart and to give us a mark of distinction, a blessing for the sanctification of his own name, so that people won't say that there's nothing good comes out of doing good. Because we want, not only do we want to do good ourselves, we want everyone else to do good along with us, to be even better than we are, so that we may not fall down, so that we may have a social reinforcement of what we believe in. And everyone needs it. Everyone needs a fellow man and needs a certain reciprocity in those around him for what he is. He needs a certain acknowledgement, a certain feeling of acceptance and of approval to some degree or other. And this is, and by being blessed, we achieve, and this blessing being open, we receive this approval, we sanctify the name, and we have a strength to go on. And for this reason too, all of us should try and do what is best for ourselves, that we should have a blessing and blessed for, and good for our family, so that the blessing may come upon us. You should not harm yourselves. You should not do things that are harmful to yourself in any way, because the Almighty does not want it, and this is not the path of the righteous. The path of the righteous looks after himself and their families, and they look after others. It says in verse 4:7, in Tata Simka Bilabi, this is a very important verse. It says, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." In other words, in basic societies, people work in agriculture, so they work and they work the fields and they work the vineyards, and they have a harvest. They have a harvest of corn that they can sell and buy goods for, or provide, or put aside to provide for their families and provide for their community. And they also create wine, make wine from the grapes. And they're happy. They're happy in eating, they're happy in the produce, they're happy in what they've received, and also through drinking the wine, a person is naturally becomes more happy, becomes more elevated in spirit. And so David is saying in this psalm that those who pray to God, those who have God within them, those who come close to God, those who walk in the pathway of the righteous, have an inner happiness, an inner gladness, an inner exaltation, an inner joy. And we know this, we experience it, and this is more than anything else. It's worth more than anything else. This is in our heart, this is something basic to us. This becomes part of our nature, part of the nature of all those who come close to the Almighty. This never leaves you. This never leaves someone who comes too close to God. This is always there. Not only that, it's always with you. Basically, it remains with you and remains with your family, and you pass it on to your children. And others around it receive something of this for you. And even when you fall down, even if God forbid you depart from the way of the Almighty for certain periods or in certain deeds, even so, this remains with you and helps you. And when you return, and God willing, if you do fall down, and I hope you don't, but if anyone does and they return, and they should return, that God will, this helps them return. This remains a guiding light within their being. This is what this verse says. This is what David recognized. We should be thankful that a person such as David existed, and he gave us the Psalms of his. As he concludes, "B'shalom yachidav ishkaba b'ishan, ki ad adnai levadat davidak toshaveni, I will lay me down in peace and sleep. The Lord only maketh me dwell in safety." So David is going to go to sleep, he's going to have a rest, and David knew the value of sleep, knew the value of rest, because a goodly portion of his life, several crucial moments, he was fleeing for his life. Day and night, running away. Fleeing for his life and in fear of his life. In fear of the lives of those attached to him. So he knew the value of being able to lie down and sleep and knowing that God will watch over him. And that when he awakes, he will not have to fear, and that he will be invigorated and see before him the path of the righteous, the path in which he must go in. Let it be that we too will benefit from this surety, that we too will follow the path of David, the path of the righteous. We will do good for ourselves and for Israel. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you were pleased with what we had to say and agreed with what we said. And if not, you can always contact me. We're open to complaints, open to criticism. In fact, we welcome it. Without it, we wouldn't know what to do. In the past, we have benefited greatly from it. So get in touch with us through our email or in other ways and let us know. To all events, may God bless all of us, bless you. This is Yair Davidi from Brit Am Broadcasting Israel, signing off. Until the next time, all the best.